Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us and for making this part of your day. I hope that these times are a blessing to you and that you look forward to them. I know I always do. They're a blessing for me. And as we get to spend this time in the Word and listen to our Lord, I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make this come together and be possible for us. But more than anyone, I want to thank our Lord, His love for us, His grace, His reconciling us unto Himself as His children, for inviting us to know Him and giving us this time. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day, Lord, that You've given to us. Father, this opportunity to be before You. Father, I pray now, O God, that You just give us the ability, Lord, to hear from You. Father, that You speak to us, that You reveal Yourself to us. Lord, enable us to hear from You in this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we open God's Word to Psalm 77, we find the psalmist, Asaph, facing a problem that probably all of us have faced at one time or another, a problem that you may be facing right now today in your life. And that is, as you look at your life right now, it seems, and I want to stress that word, seems as if God isn't doing anything. You, in the past or maybe in the present, you have faced a problem. You've prayed about it. You've sought God about it. You've called out to God about it. And yet, God, up to this point, seems to have done absolutely nothing. And we've all been there. And again, you may be there now. And again, that's exactly where Asaph was. Look at what we read as we look at Psalm 77. Look at verses 2 through 9 at what he is experiencing, what he's going through. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. Selah. You have held my eyelids open, so I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song of the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? And will He never be favorable again? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Has His promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion? Asaph had prayed, he had called out, he had sought the Lord, and it seemed as if God was doing nothing. And Asaph was troubled, he was anxious about it. It was made all the worse for him when he remembered the good old days. And you see his questions, very same questions that you may be having today if it seems as if God's not doing answering a prayer, meeting a need. You know, has God forgotten me? Does God really care for me? Is God going to do anything? And again, all of us can look back in times in our life and we can relate. And again, you may be there now and say, you know, I know exactly what Asaph is going through here. I've been there or I'm there now. And yet, however, look at the confidence that Asaph has even as he wrestles with this. Look at verse 1, which we deliberately skipped over. My voice rises to God. I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. Even in the time where it seems like God wasn't doing anything, there was still, deep down, a complete confidence, an absolute assurance, a perfect peace that God would answer. What enabled Asaph to pray that way? What enabled Asaph to overcome, you know, what he was wrestling with when it seemed like God was doing nothing? What is it that we learn from Asaph? What is it that we need to do in those times when it seems like in spite of our prayers, in spite of our calling out, in spite of our crying out to God, that He's doing nothing? What is it that we need to do in those times? Well, first of all, we need to remember God's works. We need to remember what God has done in the past. Keep reading verses 10 through 15. Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I shall remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all of your work and muse on all your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You've made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. He's reminding himself there that everything that God has done in the past and everything that God does now and everything that God ever does is holy, glorious, and is always perfect in the means that God chooses, the timing that God chooses, the motive that God has for doing it. Asaph looks back and he says, you know, time after time, I can look back at the history of Israel and I can look back on my own life, and God has moved perfectly in every situation. In every circumstance, God has done exactly what was right, what was perfect, what was good. You know, when we look at God's workings in the past, whether in the scripture or in our own life, we see that God always does what is perfect, what is good, what is best. And it ought to help us to trust Him now when we realize that what He will do in this current situation, whatever it may be, that He, in fact, will work perfectly. That He will do in our present circumstances, that He will work as He has always worked, with His perfect holiness and righteousness in mind. We, in fact, need to trust Him. We need to remember God's past works and the wonderful ways that He has worked. But then notice, we also need to remember God's power. Yes, God intends to do what is good, but can He really do it? Can He really bring it about? Well, look what we see in verses 16 through 20. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder is in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Obviously, looking back to the Exodus. And again, you recall that event that the Jews always look back as an evidence and the proof of God's power, of God's redemptive love for them, of God's faithfulness unto them. It was, in fact, just that shining moment that they could always look back. And you remember the nation of Israel was in slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt. And in spite of the fact God telling him to let his people go, Pharaoh didn't. God sent the plagues, culminating with the death angel. Pharaoh let the people go, later changed his mind, pursued them. God divided the Red Sea. The Israelites went through. When Pharaoh and his army tried to pursue, God closed the waters back over them, destroyed Pharaoh and his army. The Jews always look back at that as the proof of God's redemption, of God's power, of God's love for them. And they looked back at that, and Asaph looks back at that, and he says, you know, that proves that our God can do anything that's necessary in our behalf. In fact, is our God can do anything. There's nothing that limits Him. And as believers in Christ, we can also look back at the Exodus and see that great demonstration of God's power. I mean, what can such a God not do? The answer there is no. There's nothing. And yet as believers, we have an even greater demonstration of His power. And that is, in fact, the resurrection of our Lord and of our Savior. You think of what we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Where it talks about our Lord, who is declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The resurrection proves that our Lord, who loved us so much that He went to the cross, carrying our sins and our sinfulness upon Him to reconcile us unto God, His resurrection proves not only has the payment been paid, but it proves that He is God and that there is absolutely nothing that He cannot do. You know, no matter whatever problem or need it is that we face today, and you may be facing a tremendous problem. I'm not taking away from that. But it is nothing in comparison to the power that was necessary to raise Jesus from the dead. And if He can do that, He can handle anything that you and I bring before Him today. No matter the situation, there is nothing that our God cannot do, and we need to remember that. We need to remember his past works. We need to remember his great power. There's nothing he cannot do. But we also need to remember his loving care. That is the tremendous love that he has for us, the care that he watches over us in every part of our day, every part of our lives, every day. Reread verse 20 again. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And you think of the imagery there of the shepherd's loving care for his flock. Of course, we automatically and should think of Psalm 23, where David talked about the loving care of the Lord like a shepherd for one of his sheep. Our Lord picked up on that and actually expanded it. You think about what he said in John 10, verses 1 through 4. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door, that is the legitimate way, the God-prescribed way, and there's only one who's ever been able to do that, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens because he's the legitimate shepherd. And look at the tenderness here. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You know, we often complain in today's world that we're nothing but a number, not with God. He knows us by name. He knows us by heart. And he calls us by name, and he leads us. Doesn't drive us. He leads us. When he puts forth all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice, and they know his loving care for them. We need to remember God's loving care for us, forever proven at Calvary. If we ever question his love, all we have to do is look back at the fact that he died for us, for our sins, for our transgressions, just to reconcile us unto himself, just so he could be our shepherd and we could be his sheep. We need to remember his loving care. And though it seems sometimes like Asa was going through, it may seem like he's not doing anything, our God is always at work. And many times the nothingness he seems to be doing might be actually a work of preparation, an act of growing our faith, working behind the scenes to prepare the situation, growing us, stretching us, maturing us. But he's always at work. And he's always at work on our behalf for our good, because he loves us with a love that is incomprehensible and unimaginable. We need to remember his loving care. You know, no wonder Asa, even as he was wrestling with all this, was able to say back in verse 1, my voice rises to God. I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. Child of God, he will hear you. Remember what he's done for you in the past. Remember his great power. Remember his loving care for you. You can trust him. In his perfect timing, with his perfect answer, he will answer with a perfect motivation using his perfect means. You can trust him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, as we go through today, Lord, in a very disturbing world, a very disturbing time, and Father, possibly even deep problems in our own life, O God. Father, help us to be able, O Lord, to rest in you. And even, Father, if it seems as if in the immediate you're not doing anything, Lord, help us to be like Asa, to remember all that you have done. And Father, your power and your loving care for us, and enable us, O God, to rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And though these are very difficult days that we live in, and you may be in difficult circumstances, remember the good God that we have. Walk with him. I hope that you're in fellowship with him today, experiencing him, growing in him. And I hope in him, no matter what your circumstances, that you truly do have a great day.